Welcome to the Craftswoman Channel.
Welcome, welcome, great. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the Womb Wellness Call this Wednesday, August 12th. I'm sorry, not August 12th, but October 12th. I am Abinah, your host, Craftswoman, and today we are going to be talking to Dr. Eshe. I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name. Is it Faiza?
Faiza.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We started these series, these calls, in July because I started doing the Womb Wellness workshops, and a lot of women who were not local here in Dallas, Texas, wanted to get the information. So we always have these good speakers and teachers on the line to give us, to share with us the wealth of knowledge of how we can keep our wombs healthy. So our main topics have been birth, fertility, and fibroids, but we are not limited to those topics. So today we're actually going to be talking to Dr. Eshe. How do you say it again, Faiza?
Faiza.
Okay, Dr. Mm-hmm. Eshe Faiza, Dr. Herb Sister. She is a naturopath, mm-hmm. master formulator, and herbalist, an organic master gardener, kinesiologist, author, and speaker. And her quote is, "I consider myself a channel for people to heal themselves. My work reminds me that we are given good food and herbs, and as such, our bodies have the power to heal themselves. Our bodies want balance. I've been blessed to technically combine the wisdom of nature with research and observation." That is the quote of Dr. Eshe, and the implementation of this philosophy has been the foundation that has made Dr. Eshe Faiza one of the most well-respected results-oriented professionals in the holistic health industry. Known internationally as the Herb Lady, Dr. Eshe's ever-present connection to her Mississippi herbalist aunt and uncle inspired Dr. Eshe's legacy. Herbal blends, Aunt Henrietta's Lung Tonic, and Uncle Peter's Aza Fizzy Tea Cough Stop. Honor those talk walkers who, to this day, guide her on her healing journey. Multi-talented and exceptionally gifted, Faiza has earned a reputation for excellence and is highly sought after to share her experience. So you can find out all of this wonderful information on herbsister.com. And we're going to go ahead and get into this conversation because we only have an hour. The first thing I wanted to do was actually speak about how I heard of you. Dr. Mm-hmm. Eshe was when I had my son back in 2008, and I was seeing, I know Dr. Scari told me about you, and even you were just really popular in Atlanta when I lived there. So I just want to say that I admire your work mm-hmm. and your growth. And you're a pillar in the community. And I wanted to first just ask you, how did you – well, thank you so much for even accepting the invitation to come on the call to share with us.
And thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you, how did you get into the herbs so deeply?
Well, actually, it is a generational thing where you saw that my Aunt Henrietta and my Uncle Peter Brown, before I even – recognized what was going on, I was being inspired by them through my dreams and, you know, in the night. And I've slept with a book under my pillow for some time. And one time I was talking to my dad saying, you know, there's somebody who knows me who is giving me information. And, you know, he got really quiet on the phone, like he was calling to get me some help. And he says, well, what kind of things are they saying? And I said, well, herbs and ideas and things like that. And so, and he says, well, what do you do with them? So the book that I have under my pillow, I just take it out and just write whatever in it, and then I don't remember that it's in there. And then it's every once in a while I'll go and look through it to see what's been written in there. And I would use those herbs as part of formulas that I may be working with people on, you know. And so I've always had this, you know, he says, well, you wouldn't absolutely know these people because back in 1936 or whatever, when I was 12 years old, my Aunt Henrietta and Uncle Peter Brown down in Utica, Mississippi, they would walk all around town with these baskets and jugs of herbs and minister to the people. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, that's probably, I feel like that's who it is because I know it's somebody who knows me. And so I would just you know, I could already tell it was something good because I was getting a lot of good formulas in addition to my own studies and research. But a lot of the inspirational ideas that I was given in my dreams, I absolutely, you know, acknowledged as part of a guidance that I was being given to assist me in doing the work that I've done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a generational thing. It's inherited. You have that wisdom inherited.
Well, you know what it is that we all have a trait that's in our family that mm-hmm. can be, you know, enhanced because of everybody in the family who's doing it. I didn't have anybody else in my family that was doing it, but I did recognize when I was a child that my dad would take vitamins every single day and he would shave. And he would also give us these patent formulas. You know, a lot of people who grew up in the South, they know about 3-6s and, you know, and some of these other types of drugstore remedies that were actually family herbal remedies, and they were just in the drugstore because that's where people would go. Well, he would give us those kinds of things in addition to cod liver oil, and he would tell us stories about the different things that he was given as a child. And one of the stories that's very prevalent in the South is about acidity and how people would have grandmothers and you know, big mamas, et cetera, who would either put it in a little bag around their neck or pin it to their clothes. And when I was a student at UC Berkeley, at some of my what I would call creative procrastination, I would do research on these things. And even when I was at Berkeley, I had a very popular popcorn shop that I made herbal blends for this popcorn. So I was doing these creative procrastinations and investigating different herbs and things, and I was using them in a culinary way, using them on popcorn, and we all do that. And then as I continued, and then once I had children, I started using them in a more medicinal fashion because, you know, that was one of the ways that I absolutely recognized that women needed to be taught about herbs, because when you have a baby and mm-hmm. there's something going on at 2:00 in the morning, you don't have time to be trying to figure out what store is open and what you need and what you can get. So once I had children, I started teaching women about herbs and about how we need to keep an herbal medicine chest, you know, mm-hmm. and it kind of, you know, went from there as far as my formulas, you know, making, you know, parasite cleanses and everything, you know, that was needed for kids, the ear oil and, you know, just doing all of these kinds of things and really reaching out to mothers. But as I continued to do that, I recognized that many times the mothers were really, as the grandmothers call it, they were low. You know, they needed help.
Yeah.
So that's when I started really, you know, checking with the women first to see what they needed, because nobody checks with us, you know. You know, and then I, in doing that and living out in the country where there's no streetlights and really actually living with the seasons and acknowledging, you know, how seasonal change what you absolutely need to be doing with your health and with your kids and with your pantry. And also having grown up in Michigan and recognized that seasonal changes have to be respected because you can't do the same thing all year round, period,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
So that was how I absolutely developed, you know, the whole herbal elders, you know, foundation and living with the seasons and even looking at, you know, talking to the women and acknowledging and recognizing that women were actually the foundation of everything that's going on in our lives. It's by a successful woman that all of us are successful, you know, and the power that is that we have and how we have to acknowledge that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's how, you know, in looking at all of these different avenues of the season and the elders and the power of women being the most powerful beings in the universe, we create success, we create health, we create, you know, food and everything that's necessary for our lives and for our families' lives. And if you have a woman who's not doing her role, then you have a family that's in disarray, mm-hmm. you have a foundation that's not strong. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, a series of problems, you know. And so, you know, that's when I really started formulating for women and for mothers and, you know, doing all of that so that the women could be strong enough to continue to do all the things that they were doing in the world, because sometimes women come home and they just crash into bed after they get their kids together, And that's what they do. They crash in a bed, and they get up, and they do it all over again the next day.
Yeah.
And they don't really have the support or the energy or the mindset that they deserve to do more and not think of themselves as being selfish, you know, because it's just been raised like that, you know. So
yeah, that
I was
is
just
so
able
true.
I was able to connect so many different things, especially, you know, I was able to connect my womanist studies at Berkeley with
mm-hmm.
so much of the paternalism mm-hmm. and upbringing that so many of us have, and recognize that, you know, so many of the issues that women are dealing with is because they're trying to please everybody except themselves, you
yes.
know?
Yes.
And that's where
mm-hmm.
we have these issues with our wombs and with our, you know, even with us fully expanding who we are to be and do what we're put here on the planet to do besides just be mothers.
Right.
And it's not just be mothers, but besides being mothers, we have other
mm-hmm.
stuff that we're supposed to be doing, you know?
Right.
And it's hard for a lot of us to do it.
Mm-hmm. So you were the first person I heard to speak about, like, the remedies of fibroids. I didn't even really know that it was such a big issue. I used to hear you talking about it all the time, and I was like, who has this? And you were talking about, you know, the tumors and stuff coming out. When I used to listen to your calls, I don't know if you still do them. But
oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? I noticed that you were, you know, giving honor to one of the elders. That's me, you know, because I was doing the womb love on Wednesday and you doing yours on Wednesday. And it's just a good sequence of energy when people recognize that all of us got to do this. All of us. You know,
yeah.
because it's millions of women out there, and everybody has their circle and their area, and
mm-hmm.
we all gotta make sure that the information is as easy to get and as easy to access and understand and acknowledge as some of the stuff that we spend time on that's just, you know, susu, you know.
Right, and see, I became a doula like in 2009, and just recently I've been getting a lot of people who've been saying, you know, I can't conceive, I have fibroids, and so this is how I started to get more, you know, into this womb work, and I created
mm-hmm.
the group Sisters Against Fibroids. But more women were calling me all the time about, you know, fibroids. I was like, let me really look into this. So I wanted to just ask you, the statistics say that 70% to 80% of women will get fibroids during their reproductive years. What do you – I know we all, you know, got our causes. What do you say the cause is for so many women dealing with fibroids?
You know what the thing is we might all have our mindset on what the causes is, but the causes are plain and simple. We can take various aspects of it and say that this is or that is the cause, but
right.
number one is the endocrine disrupting chemicals that are in our environment, in our life, in the world. There's no way to get around that.
Right.
So when you have fish, turtles, and frogs turning from males to females, those excess female hormones are also estrogen that's causing women to overproduce, and they have more than they should, and they're producing not only fibroids because of the accumulation of toxins from their perfume and from their makeup and hair color and, you know, dryer softener sheets that they're using in their panties and the food and, you know, we can't even start talking about, because I call us our sisters, but I also like to call us our cousins, especially when we're going in the directions when we shouldn't go, you know.
Right.
And you know our cousins love them wing shops, you know, them little wing shops. And the
right.
wing shops is every drug that they've been giving the chicken, they've been shooting them in the wings because that's their arms.
Mm.
So all of those drugs, those hormones, those growth hormones, all of that stuff is designed to get a particular kind of chicken. So if, number one, you got too much antibiotics. Number two, if your breasts are growing out of control, that's what they want to have happen to the chicken. So that's where you're getting it from. Number three, if you're getting all of those growth hormones and its toxins, what else is it supposed to do but collect in various places, and it just pulls everything together. And women who have fibroids have a particular life. We're going to have to just say that. And that particular life helps them to collect not only the toxins, but they also have a particular mindset, and they have a particular way of being on the planet. And they may even have a particular genetic profile that even makes it even more of a issue in that lineage.
Mm-hmm.
And that genetic profile can be that even if you weren't sexually abused or raped, your grandmother may have been. And
right.
those kinds of things are, you know, and what I like to talk to women about is that when you're pregnant and your baby is, you know, a month old or, you know, 4 months, 4 weeks old in utero, uh-huh. the baby, if it's a girl, she has all of the eggs that she will ever have at that point. Mm-hmm. So when you are pregnant with your daughter, you're also pregnant with your granddaughter at the same time, mm-hmm. you know. So this whole thing of problems, and that's why the grandmothers used to talk about don't mark the baby. When you have problems in your life, mm-hmm. it automatically is passed into your genetic profile and passed into your baby and into your grandkids, all of that right now. And that's why you don't mess with pregnant women, you know. So, you know, it's, you know, sexual abuse. It's the good girl syndrome, you know. And I talk about the good girl syndrome and how, you know, women are trying to please everybody and follow the rules and do this what your mama say and do this what your daddy say and the school and the church and the this and that. It's too many rules, and mm-hmm. you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And mm-hmm. trying to follow all of this stuff, it blocks up your creative chakra. It blocks up your ability to actually move forward in your life, you know. And so it's people can say it's all of these different things or they don't know what it is. It's all of this, yeah. you know. And some people will say, well, it's a toxin. Some people will say, well, it's endocrine disruptors. Or some people say, well, it's genetic and it comes from your family line. Some people will say, well, it's your food. And definitely when you have these toxins from food and you continue to feed the toxins with sugar and bread, because every single woman that I work with, not only do they have these other factors, but they also have an issue with yeast. And yeah. so and all of us have an issue with yeast on some level, you know. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so it's a multitude of things, mm-hmm. and we have to take them all as being as serious as they are and work on all of them. So it's, you know, I get a lot of women who say, well, how long do I have to take this tonic, you know, the womb detox tonic yeah. that I make that Dr. Ascari uses in her office. I have several other Emory OBGYNs and, you know, medical personnel who recommend this to women who are having any kind of issues. And I know you've seen the pictures where mm-hmm. women have passed the fibroids. And, of yeah. course, I had 10 women this year who had never been pregnant this summer. Mm-hmm. And they all have and had babies,
oh,
you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to look at everything and you got to work with everything, including parasites, mm-hmm. including parasites. So it's a far-reaching aspect, and it's no when am I going to finish with this tonic? How long is it going to take? That's not a question to ask, because it took years for you to get here.
Right.
And you got to invest the time into, because, you know, herbs are foods, so you're not right. using a drug. So when you invest in the time every day to use your foods, your herbs, to work on your body and to pull these things out of your system, you got to be disciplined. You got to be dedicated. You got to look at how you live in. If you hate your job, hate your mama, hate your husband, you got to do something about that. You can't just take the tonic and keep hating everything about your life and think that the fibroids are not going to continue to create. And I tell people that don't waste your money if you ain't looking for a job or if you ain't trying to heal this issue with your mama. And you know, if you're having a problem with your husband and you can't fix it and you've been there for 15 years, dump him, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be able to have a good life and mm-hmm. to be who you're supposed to be on the planet. You can't mm-hmm. make everybody else's priorities bigger than yours. Yeah. You know, so it's that's why I also was doing I call them the womb love calls, because mm-hmm. you got to pay attention to loving your womb, loving yourself, loving everything about you, even if it's not where you want it, you got to love it mm-hmm. so that you can stop loving other people more and letting them abuse you and take you down, you know?
Okay,
and
so
that's how we got to live.
there's one of these reality star people on Atlanta Housewives. I don't know if she's still on there, but she's known for her, you know, her rear end and all this type of stuff. And she had fibroids. She had the surgery. She was having miscarriage and all this stuff. So she lost weight or whatever through the process of divorce and everything. And so I heard her on another show, and they were talking about, oh, you know, your butt, and talking about her butt. And she was like, oh, I had to go to Wendy's every day to get this butt back. And then her fibroids came back. So
you know what? And see, that wasn't a conversation that she should have been educating people on. And she thinking, you know, first of all, My mama told me when I was growing up, your brains are going to last longer than your looks. Thank God I listened to her, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of thing that we have to be embedding in our daughters and in our children, in our males and our females, being on a reality show and having people actually talk to you in your face about your butt is really demeaning, you know? Mm-hmm. And for you to think that that's really something, that's why my kids, they're all adults now. My daughter just turned 18. Mm-hmm. But I turned the TV off, I mean the cable off, when they were like 7, 8, and 9, because I wasn't going to have people that I don't respect, that don't respect me, teaching my children how to be in the world. I've had to take it off. And so they may watch Netflix and things like that now, but they didn't grow up coming home every day watching TV. And they was reading on the 12th grade level and going to school on academic college on academic scholarships. So you giving something away when you let that TV take over your house, you know, and you paying them to do it, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But these women, those drugs
and that meat and all that stuff that she just was bragging about how she had to go and get that back.
Uh-huh.
That's a ridiculous thing to say for somebody who has good sense. Just put it like that, like the grandma say. You got good sense.
Thank you so
like,
much
you
for
like
watching.
That. And that's
please like, share,
with.
Subscribe, and leave a comment. Let us know what did you think about this
she
video.
Went the surgical manner instead of doing education like you doing, like I do, and letting people know it's all.
Thank you so much for watching. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Let
us know what did you think about this video.
Solution again, because I've met women that have 4 or 5 surgeries. And then I'm constantly working on the scar tissue with herbs and castor oil packs and all kinds of stuff. And then what they want to do is, like, I've been so good. Everything is going so good. Can I just have some wings as a treat? Wings are poison, you know? That's why I have to say that right at the beginning of all conversations. Wings are poison. And then I talk about how we even got into that comfort to think that the wings was some food that we needed. Why? Because back in the day, your grandmama, your mama, when they had butchers in grocery stores, they would cut the wings off a chicken and put them in a bag and throw them away. Mm-hmm. And people who did not have money would go up there with 50 cent and get 50 cent worth of wings. And then our grandmamas would put all them bell peppers and onions and garlic. You hear all them herbs that she put on that chicken, the wings, and make them taste like something. And you were so happy to have that fat, which is essential fatty acids that feed your brain and your spine and everything, and have all of those herbs and that little bit of protein that you thought that was a delicacy. And you still have that locked into your mindset that wings are a real good comfort food that really makes you feel good. When really it was your grandmama, it was all them herbs, it was the fat, it was a whole bunch of stuff, but it wasn't them little bit of teeny bit of meat off that wing, you know? Yeah.
I just love the way you break it down. It's so, like, straight to the point. So what do you say when women, they come to me, like, because I do Yoni steams, well, how many steams is it going to take? You know, or the people that just want to take a pill and just eliminate stuff, or, oh, that tastes so bad. You know, like, I mean, what do you say to them, to the ones?
This is what I say. You could pay in the front or you can pay in the back.
Okay.
So you could either take everything here, or you're going to be calling me when you fall out somewhere and you're in the emergency room trying to get me to tell you what to tell them so they won't do an emergency hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have women call me from the hospital all the time, you know. And sure enough, I get it, you know, I still get the calls or from women who didn't want, like the taste or whatever. But, you know, I say put on your big girl panties. You're a grown woman. You got to do everything that's necessary to hold on to your creative center, because that is not just where you produce babies, but that's also where you produce ideas and your you know how you say, I had a gut feeling? That's where it comes from in women. It comes from there, where you are able to sense and know and do and connect. It's our battery to universal energy. That's why I talk about how we need to go and relax in the park. We want to sit on the grass and put our vagina down on the ground so that the energy of the universe can come and recharge our bodies. Same with going to the beach. We getting practically naked and sitting on the sand so we can get recharged. But what I talk about in my classes is that 9 times out of 10, women want to believe that it's their sexual partner who's generating all of that energy and making them feel good, when really that energy comes from a lot of different places. But we are not led to believe that we have that kind of power or that we can access that kind of power unless it's in a relationship. And that's why we a lot of times get caught into bad relationships, because we're constantly seeking that power and that recharge.
And you do some classes right now. Are they only online?
Yes, I'm doing right now, and I think I may have mentioned it to you, but I'm writing a book. I'm doing an audio book and a workbook, mm-hmm. and then I have a whole series of classes and some big things coming up in January. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, let's just tell the truth. Tell the truth and shame the devil. People giving you about 3 more weeks before they go into the dark side and start eating stuff they ain't ate in a year and doing all kinds of because of the holidays. So even though everybody is really ready when we go into the hibernation, which is now, uh-huh. to do classes, uh-huh. I'm finding that it's, you know, I work with the seasons. I teach with the seasons. I even talk about us as seasons. And mm-hmm. so this particular season, I'm going to save it for me to put my roots down as deeply as possible, to pull up what's necessary so that I can bloom with this coming up in the early spring and the spring. And so I'll have not only my womb loveology class coming up in January, but I also will have my earth-based holistic herbalism class coming up in January. Yeah.
So the book that's on here, what is that? It says book, what, Dr. Eshe Herb Sister, on your website?
Oh, you know, I've already written The Parasite Cleansing Diet. That's a book talking about parasite cleansing. And then previous to this, I've written a book called The Organic Gardening Guide. But this one is totally different. It's all about what women need to know to survive and to thrive. Mm-hmm. And it's about, of course, our wombs and how we need to live our lives so that we can have the healthiest connection mm-hmm. to ourselves and to universal energy and to our wombs. And we can use all of this to be who we truly are supposed to be.
Well, I definitely have been sending people to you for the fibroid tonic because I know people who have took your tonic and eliminated some fibroids.
Mm-hmm.
What's the key? What's the key to your tonic? I mean, like,
well,
I guess generally.
I think that number one, it is. I use all organic herbs, and I call it the womb detox tonic now because, you know, since you were in Atlanta, you, like you said, you've seen how I've evolved, you know. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I did call it the fibroid-free tonic, but mm-hmm. I recognize that all women need to detox their wombs because right. it's absolutely necessary to prevent fibroids yeah. and other womb issues. If you think that you're just going to wait until you get a diagnosis and right. then start trying to do a whole bunch of things to get rid of it, the best thing to do is prevention. And that's why when you're talking to women who say they don't like the taste and everything, you say, well, you know what? That's the ways that we are supposed to stay well is prevention. So mm-hmm. anything that's going to help prevent something is going to have a twist to it because it has to pull and draw what's going on in your body. If it's sweet, which is what our problems are, everybody yeah. has I call them sugar babies. They got a sugar
yeah.
tongue.
Yeah.
That is what is having us even be involved with the depends generation. All that sugar and everything is making your tissue soft.
You said
soft
depends generation? Oh,
yeah. Wow.
We had sister Ladia Muhammad, you know her, right? And she
yeah.
was talking about how everybody is wearing diapers and stuff, and that's something new that I just learned about too, that a lot of women, even in their 30s, even women who
yep.
haven't had children, are wearing the panties.
The
like
pins. Let's just say
yeah,
the pins.
Pins.
Yeah. 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 Well, the whole thing is that it's because that's what I'm talking about, this whole thing about womb love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to take all of that seriously as far as how connected you have to be to that area of your body, your womb and your vagina and that whole thing, not letting anybody in it because they think they should be in it, or that you married or that you own a date with this person or whatever. That is really your sacred channel, and you can't
yeah.
just let anybody in there, you know? And when you do, and it's not right for you, you will see in all of these different things that's going on with your body, you know. And some women, I'm working with them on womb issues, fibroids and cysts and all kinds of stuff, and they asking me, well, let me ask you this. I don't know if I should ask you this, but can I have sex while I'm using this? I say, you know what, that's the problem right there. Therein lies the problem, you know. He got to wait, and if he can't wait, you ain't got nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told women that who've been married, come on, my husband, he gets upset. Well, you know what? Then I'm telling you right now, that relationship is not going to last. I don't care how much sex you have it. That ain't going to last. Because there's times when you are supposed to stand down. You're supposed to take
mm-hmm.
off, you know? I mean, during your cycle is one of them, when you have an opportunity for your body to rest and rebuild, you know. And if you got somebody who just got to be on you like that, and that's the same when women have babies. When they say, well, my 6 weeks is up on Friday, you know what? Right. 6 weeks don't have nothing to do with how tender or how available you are vaginally. You're not available in 6 weeks. Yeah. That's ridiculous, yeah. You know.
That's and what I was like. We need to give it more time, but.
You know what? That's on the women.
Yeah.
Because that six-week thing, you have to think about it. That's all about doctors trying to get you back on the J-O-B. That's not about how you feel. You still bleeding at 6 weeks, and there's no way you can even feel like having an orgasm or having somebody touch you sexually when you're supposed to be nursing, you know? So you got a man like that, don't have no more kids. So you can't have sex for 6 weeks because you're going to be out of that relationship and you don't need to have a string of kids that you're trying to pay for and put through college because that ain't going to last, you know? And so when women tell me about that 6 weeks thing, I said, girl, let me tell you, you need 4 months at least. You need 4 months, you know? And a man who's looking at 6 weeks, that's a problem, you know? And you know why you need 4 months, because you got a baby, you know? You need to be not only nursing the child, you need to be getting in the rhythm with the child. He need to be helping you with the child. That ain't your baby, you know? Yeah. And you need to rest for at least 6 weeks where you ain't going nowhere. Nobody's coming in your house. Remember how the grandmothers used to do it? People didn't come in your house when you had a new baby come to see the baby. That don't happen, you know? And you don't go to the grocery store with a baby that's 2 days old. I see women out there with babies that's 2 days old. I said, what you doing out here with that baby? Get home and lay down. That's why women wearing Depends in their 30s. Because you could drive or you thought you could get a ride or you could do these things, your body was not absolutely ready to do that, and you pay for it later. You can't tell right then, but you pay for it later, you know?
And I guess that maybe we have covered this, but I just want to make sure that I go over the topic of fertility. A lot of women have this struggle with conceiving, of course, carrying, you know, reoccurring miscarriages and things like that. Do you have anything, any tonics for fertility, or we just need to get the full womb detox?
Well, you know what? I have programs,
okay.
And I do consults, and once I do a consult, I absolutely know which program you need to be on.
Okay.
And then I will, and I put, you know, the consults are fertility consults. It includes the man and the woman because the men are just as toxic as the women. But most of the time, women are taking on all of the responsibility. I can't get pregnant. No, we can't get pregnant.
Yeah.
Something going on with both of y'all, you know? And what ends up happening is, like I told you, I had one sister just now that I work with, and I did a seminar at Sevenanda, and I'm going to be doing, you know, them regularly from, you know, because I travel a lot. But I do recognize that people who are local really do look forward to meeting you out at a store like Sevenanda. So I'm going to be there this Saturday. But what ends up happening is, she had 4 miscarriages, and she came to a class that I had at Sevenanda, and she cried when she said she had just had a miscarriage like 3 weeks ago. And, you know, and I hugged her, and I said, don't worry. We do something together. You get with me. We do a consult. And I can, don't you know that she's, like, 4 months pregnant now, and she never went past, like, 7 weeks, you know?
Wow.
So it had to do her and her husband, and, you know, and then I have women, like I told you, they've been married 10 years, no birth control. They got babies, or they having babies within the next couple weeks, you know, and all this whole year it's been 10 babies, you know. And one of the things I have to say to people is that you can't give up. You can't just take on the diagnosis that you're getting from a regular medical doctor and believe that they know everything, because they don't, you know. You do have to get some alternative help with other people. You really don't want to go through that IVF and that fertility route, because that will give you womb cancer later. And, you know, And so you got a baby now, and now they 5 or 6, and now you got a cervical issue, and it's a cervical cancer, and it goes, and next, you know, yeah, the baby there with the daddy, and you gone, you know? So it's you do have to go into it with a holistic mindset. You're not just trying to get pregnant. You're trying to change how you live in, so that you can welcome a child into your family, which means you got to change a lot of things that you're doing. You know,
do you think that somebody should prepare like a year before they want to conceive?
You know what I do? I'm talking to women now and telling women, you always need to be prepared.
Yes.
Because what ends up happening for a lot of women, they will bring their babies to me. The baby's got asthma, all kinds of allergies, all kinds of stuff. These women, they never did a detox before they got pregnant. Mm-hmm. You need to always have your body ready, mm-hmm. you know, because that's good health for you. And when you have a baby that comes out of the oven, which is what you are, when you, mm-hmm. you bake all of these parasites into the baby, mm-hmm. all of these food allergies and things that you've had for the longest time that may have not been, you know, out, but you may say, oh, well, I had it when I was a child. Well, you know what? You still have it. It's just mm-hmm. it's not, you know, showing. And when you have these kids who come with all these allergies, no hair, you know, all of these issues, it's because you have never really cleaned your body out and you didn't stay on it regularly. You said, mm-hmm. okay, I got a boyfriend or mm-hmm. somebody, he wants a baby, I want a baby, so we're going to try to have a baby. No. First of all, you got to put some time into that whole cycle of bringing somebody here, and then you also got to clean both of your bodies out. So you ain't just trying to have a baby because y'all both want a baby now. You got to put time into this, you know, and that means that you got to clean out your body. You got to have all kinds of philosophical discussions about how you're going to raise kids and just all kinds of things, because I can't even tell you how people decide they want to have a baby. And they're calling me on the phone, and I say, well, how many kids you got? I got four. How many kids your guy have? He got two. I said, you know what? Y'all got enough kids. Y'all need to invest in those kids that y'all have. Take them up north and pick apples and put them in band and do some stuff with those kids. Don't bring no more kids here because y'all want to be closer. There's other ways to get closer, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes you got to tell people that. And then I ask them, where your mama at? Mm-hmm. Because that's really what is going on with most of us, is yeah. that we're not well-mothered. And sometimes our mother's not capable of doing it. Sometimes they didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they got caught when they weren't ready to have a child and they just couldn't wait for you to get to a certain age and feel like you could handle it on your own. And you can't. Mm-hmm. You always need a mother. You always need somebody to fill that role.
Yeah.
And then the women will just cry on the phone. I don't know them. They don't know me.
Uh-huh.
And they just tell me, thank you so much for talking to me uh-huh. and telling me these things. And everything. And that's what we need.
Yeah.
We need, as women, we need to care about each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk straight to each other
mm-hmm.
and tell the truth and, you know, in love. So you ain't trying to be nasty and tell them, girl, you being a hoe. You don't need to
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
But you do need to say, you know what, this ain't the way that you bond with people, just having a baby with them. This ain't it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if he got two kids somewhere else and you got three or four kids here and they daddy's not here and he's not over there with them, why are you going to do this again? You already see what
yeah.
you got,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just being honest.
Yes. Do you have any tonics or anything? What about women that are breastfeeding? What can they do to cleanse?
Let me tell you. Uh-huh. I tell women because I get a lot of, I call them little mamas. I say, hey, little mama. You know, I get a lot of little mamas calling me. When you breastfeeding, everything that you do goes straight through to your milk. And, you know, I breastfed four
uh-huh.
babies.
Uh-huh.
And I used to just really turn that milk green with so much broccoli and spinach and then I would put essential fatty acids in it, you know, oils in it so that they can get the oils because it helps their brains and all of that. And nursing mothers have to think, when you are trying to do any kind of detoxing or cleansing, you kick in yeast into your milk, you kick in parasites into your milk, you kick in all the toxins that's coming out of your body into your milk, because your breast milk is the same, even if you're using bad deodorant, is coming in through your milk, because
mm-hmm.
underneath your arm is breast tissue, and whatever you put underneath your arm is coming out of your breast and into your milk,
mm.
you know. And you know when you're nursing that the breast, the sweat glands under your arm are very, very active. Every time you hear a baby cry or it's time for you to nurse or you get ready to nurse and you let your bra down, automatically it's just like sweat starts dripping from underneath your arm, just like milk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's all breast tissue, and it's in the area where it's going to release water, but in the front it's releasing milk. So you can't do anything, you know, every once in a while if there's something. And that's really a benefit too, because I tell women that's why you have to nurse until they're 2 years old, because anything that happens to them, you can always take it yourself and then nurse them, and it comes straight through your milk. So you give them anything you need to give them, herbs and everything, in the milk.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
So it's a benefit.
Let me see. I'm trying to unmute the line here. Anybody have a question on the line right now? Okay. So another thing, crisis that's going on is with the a lot of women are getting hysterectomies, and it's to the point where it's like a tradition. I mean, people are thinking, oh, it's time for me to get my hysterectomy, like it's time for, you know, your new teeth to grow in. And
yep.
I'm like, that's
flabbergasted.
It's the same as like cesareans. It's like they're saying, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, get this cesarean. And I don't know, I'm just like, are you just, it's okay. Like the major surgery is just like a normal thing these days to just get your organs moved around and taken out.
Let me tell you. The thing about that, I have had the exact same thing where women say, well, I didn't have my hysterectomy, so now what do I need to do to keep my body? I said, well, you know what, when did you have it? And they tell me, oh, a year ago. I said, well, I'm sorry, I didn't meet you a year and a month ago. Because, you know, yeah, because that is your major strength and power organ is your womb. If you think about it, your womb, when you cough, blink, turn your head, everything comes from right there in that whole region. And when you take out that major muscle, you have now opened your body up to having your colon and your bladder come down your vagina because there's nothing to hold it up. And that's where that whole vaginal mesh lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
Because they put this, like you might say, an onion bag or orange bag up in the body underneath the bladder and the colon to hold those organs up because the womb is no longer there. So it's an open hole for anything that wants to go down, like a chimney, to go down. And over time, it does. That's one of the reasons, too, why some of the older women are using those Depends and things, because they don't have any bladder strength, because their bladder has been coming up. They come down and they go to the doctor and he puts it back up there with the speculum or whatever they're using. And it's just a constant thing. They don't want to have sex. They have all kinds of discharges and smells because your internal organs are coming out of your body. They're not going to discuss that with you during a hysterectomy, you know? Not only that, that's your second brain. Why would you want to get rid of that? So that is one of the reasons why I say it's fabulous that, you know, you're doing this and you were inspired by me to do this, because what happens is we need to re-educate all women, because some of our elder women are teaching the younger women, well, go on and get your hysterectomy. If you're having problems, just go on and get it out, and it'll all be over with, and you don't have to fool with that no more. And they already are after us from age 34 to get a hysterectomy if you say you don't want any more kids. So when you have the elders encouraging you without telling you the whole story that they're wearing Depends because their bladder is out of them every month, and they feel it when they're having sex, and on, then you're not getting the full story. So it is an epidemic of hysterectomies, because you got doctors who got 2 and 3 offices and 3 and 4 ex-wives. So they got to have your money to keep all of this stuff going. And if you have good insurance, they're going to take it. So if you don't have the womb love to keep yourself together and keep all your parts, as some of the women in the country say, then they very much will oblige you and take it out and get paid that $10,000 to $30,000. And then guess what? Then they don't want to really have anything else to do with you. Why? Because that's the price. That's why you have doctors always telling women, well, how old are you? Well, we can handle this. We just schedule for a hysterectomy and this whole thing will be over. I can tell you right now, I had a woman just a couple weeks ago. She texted me and she says, I had a teacher in whatever university, school, whatever, I guess it's somewhere in Atlanta. She says, and they begged me to call you, and I have your phone number in my phone, and not to get a hysterectomy. And I did it anyway because I thought I knew better. She says, and I think that was the worst decision I have made in my life.
Oh.
Well, I felt so sorry for her, and I said, oh, I'm sorry. I texted back and said, oh, I'm sorry, you know. And then, you know, I told her, I said, well, we would have to do something because I need to hear all the facts. We had to do a consult. I call it a herbal education consultation because I'm teaching you about the signals that your body gives you and what you're supposed to do when you get this signal and this message, you know. And she's still yet to do that, but she's probably depressed. I've had women who – I was at an event in Macon once, and it is very regional, some of the things that happen to women as far as hysterectomies and things.
Yep.
And I saw her get out of the car, and I thought it was an old woman, and I was looking at her from a distance and thinking, I wonder where her kid's at. Why nobody there helping her? She could hardly get the door open. She couldn't hardly stand up. I mean, the door was just just booming her. And then she started walking across the walkway, all old and slow and crickety and everything. And when she got to me, I saw that she wasn't an old woman. Mm-hmm. And she held her hand out, and she says, "I signed the paper. I signed the paper." And I already knew what paper she meant, that surgical permission form, which means that no matter what the doctor told you in the office, once you sign that paper, they do whatever they think is the best mm-hmm. at that moment. And I said, "What paper?" And she says, "The surgery form." And I was only supposed to be getting 3 lumps taken out, a myomectomy. And when I woke up, everything, a complete full hysterectomy, all her tubes, her womb, everything gone. And she was 24 years old.
Oh.
And I've met several women on my tours and classes and teaching them who have been 24 or so years old who have had hysterectomies. And I said to her, "Oh, baby, I'm sorry." And she just hit the ground. She fell out. And see, wow. So I created this whole philosophy of womb loveology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my book is going to be about. Because you see all of these experiences that all of us have had separately. All of us think that our situation is what you're calling it, is different and is exceptional and is this and is that. When I'm traveling all over the country, it's all the same. But guess what? They're telling you that this is something extraordinary because they want you to feel that they are the only person that can help you and you need to go along with whatever they tell you, you know. But that's not true. It's the same everywhere. And so, you know, that's why we have to have these kinds of educational sessions. We have to have, you know, sister circles. We have to have what I call womb love parties where people get to, all the women get together with all ages, elders, young women, little girls who haven't even started their cycle, and have positive stories about childbirth and also about our cycles and what to do and how to address. And even if they want to have someone come in like you or me,
mm-hmm.
so that they can get good information, because that's one of the things about being a woman is that we have been taught that there are problems with us since Adam and Eve. And these types of stories and these types of things go so deep in your psyche where you thinking you being punished for having a cycle and children and all of these things. And I'm saying this because we have to look at the culture that women have been raised in, especially when we have these epidemics of, you know, it's misogynistic, basically. You know, it's a woman-hating thing. And I think the same thing when I see women who go to men about their womb and their vagina. Why are you going to a man about your womb?
Yeah.
You know? But guess why? Because they are constantly seeking approval from men.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen stuff on Facebook where people have been replying to different guys out there who are doing, you know, herbal work and saying, "Well, you know, I'm still working on it. I'm still having a cycle, but I'm working on getting my body detoxed so I won't have a cycle." Anybody that teaches you that your body is toxic because you're having a cycle, you need to hang up and run away from that person
mm-hmm.
because that's a lie. A cycle is the most natural thing going on the planet. And if they mama didn't have a cycle, they wouldn't be here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's so many misogynistic myths that we're being taught about our bodies, about things, that there's a way that we need to work at being together and teaching ourselves positive things and better stories and more empowering information. And what we've been taught up until recently, now there's a lot of us womb workers now,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't at one point. And we have to continue to encourage people to come out and do this work if they're led to do it, and not for the money, not for any of these other stuff, because it ain't no whole bunch of money in it mm-hmm. unless you are doing hysterectomies, and that's why they do them, you know?
Yeah.
But we have to talk sweet to each other, and we have to uplift and empower each other, and we have to be the ones that direct our journeys and direct our herstory. It's her story. We are the story. It's not his story. It's her story. We have to be the ones who are directing that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And we do that by getting ourselves healthy, by taking care of our creative chakra and our creative center, by recognizing our power and not giving it away so that they can feel good, and by encouraging our daughters to take risks and to do things that we may not have done, that our mamas didn't do, and not to tell people not stop doing, you're doing too much. No, we We all do a lot, but we do as much as we can handle until we can't handle no more. Then we pull back. But we have got to be the ones who direct our journey and direct our health and our healing and our womb life and our womb journey. Nobody else is supposed to be in that. And when you hear politicians even talking about what women can and cannot do with their body, make sure you rally against them so that they can get voted out, because they don't have no business talking about our vaginas and our wombs, because they don't have one and they need to be out.
Oh, man, this is so much good information, but I'm just going to do it for an hour because that's the way we do it. We have to do other things.
Yes, so I got you.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's just so good.
No.
I know it's so short, but everybody, you can contact Dr. Eshe at herbsista.com, H-E-R-B as in boy, S-I-S-T-A-H.com. I mean, it's so much good stuff on here. It's stuff for the whole family.
Let me give people my phone number.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I do. Yes, my phone number is 404-244-5565. That's 404-244-5565. It's a talk or text number. And, you know, the thing is don't let my number be in your phone for a year before you use it and then try to get everything done in, you know, a short period of time. And you can email me at info@herbsista.com. And when I get my book finished and get I have a class scheduled, but I don't want to put it out until we actually start registering people, which we will be doing in the next couple of weeks. But I will get back with you or email you
please,
or text you or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Yes. It's a great class. Great class. Great class.
Thank you.
It incorporates herstory, earth-based healing, the whole thing of, you know, our whole native and African energetic of herbs and healing and the thankfulness. We have to get back to us. And that's why so often we're having issues, because we're not fully pulled all of those selves back together. And we don't know what's wrong, but something's missing. And we are trying to figure it out. And a lot of times we're going in the wrong direction to get it, you know. But I think after all of these years that I've been on the planet, I think I got it.
Yes, you do. I'm just so excited. And everybody, she's touchable. She answers the phone, and she's not all about give me that money. She will actually help you. I'm just so grateful, and I'm just so thankful for you being on this call. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank
Eshe.
You.
So
we'll be
back here next week with a lovely guest. And I'm not telling y'all who it is, but it's going to be another legend. Okay.